This extreme red flag bill will further erode citizens' due process rights, which are continually under attack here in Connecticut. The hearing is set to begin at 10 a.m. in room 2D of the Legislative Office Building. Don't forget, I mean, this is important. I'm sure you're going to want to submit testimony to the Judiciary Committee. You can do that by the way, at sending it to JUD testimony at cga.ct.gov. Also, contact committee members and urge them to oppose House Bill 5448. In doing so, the Connecticut Citizens Defense League, by the way, will also be hosting a lobby day on the very same day as the hearing to rally members and Second Amendment supporters against House Bill 5448. If you are able, please again attend the CCDL lobby day and urge members of the Joint Committee on Judiciary to again oppose this red flag bill, which is House Bill 5448. To discuss this a little further, and I realize that the 13th is actually this Friday, and from what I understand, the state capitol is going to be closed on Friday, so I'm sure that'll be rescheduled. To discuss this a little bit further, State Representative, my former colleague in the House, State Rep Doug Dubitsky. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you, brother?
I am fantastic, but I have to break a little news this morning for you. The hearing on 5448 and the CCDL's
lobby day.
Rally day, yeah, has been moved. It is Monday the 16th.
Ah, okay.
Due to the panic over coronavirus, the Legislative Office Building is closed Thursday and Friday. Nothing is happening on either of those days, so they moved all the gun bills to Monday the 16th.
Well, that's good to know. All right, so I stand corrected. And I had a feeling, because we were just talking a little bit earlier this morning when we first went onto air, that the LOB was going to be closed for a deep cleaning, I believe, on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. And then I know you guys are in session on Wednesday in the chamber. And then on Thursday and Friday, both buildings are going to be just closed, you know, off limits to the public. So,
I think they're probably going to have guys in hazmat suits go in and, you know, pick all the lint out of the carpet. You know, the whole, everybody has lost their minds.
Thank you.
They're literally talking about canceling the entire session.
Come on.
I am serious.
Well, the only good news out of that, Doug, would be no terrible bills would get passed, right?
There's a silver lining on every
that's right.
cloud,
right? Yeah, so what's your take on that? Before we go into the red flag bills, what's your take on this coronavirus here, too? I think they're the similar point of view that I have over here.
There are 60,000 people a year that die from the flu, and I don't recall them ever canceling, the legislative session or banning travel or anything like that. I think that this is completely overblown. Obviously people need to take precautions. I'm certainly not saying that, that there's nothing to it, but look at all of these diseases that have come through over the last several years. You know, you've got MERS, SARS, bird flu, all these different things that have come through, Ebola. You know, obviously we need to take precautions and we need to be careful about, not doing stupid things. But, we can't shut down life. Because there's an illness out there. There's 330 million people in this country. And how many? 14 have died. 60,000 a year die from flu.
Yeah.
So, I believe part of it is political. Part of it is just the next thing, the next freak out, the next thing to put in the news, the next thing to attack Trump on.
Well, what's happening is that it's having an effect on the stock market. And, of course, the stock market is linked to our economy. And therein lies the problem for Trump, right? Because as the economy goes, the same direction Trump goes. When you have a strong economy, I mean, it helps Trump because it's his economy. And then when it tanks, he's the first person they want to blame.
Right. But although the stock market is a very visible indicator, the stock market is not the economy. And we need to be careful to tie those two things together. You know, the jobless reports just came out, 200,000+ new jobs unexpectedly last month after 200,000+ jobs unexpectedly the month before. You know, the Dow Jones is, what was it, 30 stocks? There's also the added factor of this oil war between Saudi Arabia and Russia, which, you know, people have seen coming for a week or so or even more. So, you know, how much of this is coronavirus? How much of this is oil war? Let's say it's 50-50, but, you know, we've seen these things before. You know, we've seen these virus panics before. We've seen the stock market jump up and down because of oil prices. You know, we may see gasoline prices in the next couple of weeks in the like $1.70 range. We haven't seen that since the 1990s.
Yeah, good point. Well, you're right. It hasn't been that low in over 20 years.
And is that a bad thing? You know, boy, I'd love to go and fill up my tank at $1.70 a gallon.
No, you're right. You're right. And we're not trying to make light of it. We're just trying to be realistic, and be a straight shooter about it. And not, we don't want to sugarcoat it, but we don't want to start a panic neither. And I think that's part of this problem is the media. You know, they're adding newscasts left and right, every channel. Instead of having a 5:30 and 6 o'clock news, they're starting at 4:30, you know. And listen, they need to fill that time. And even on the national level, there's all these news channels, 24-hour news. They've got to fill the time with something. It's all about ratings and selling commercials. I get it, you know. And when there's a pandemic, or if there's some national emergency, or they'll make something up if there's not enough people are tuning in. But you got to get more people watching, more people tuning in, so you create news. You know, if you can't go out and find the news, you'll create it.
Right. And they also, you know, look at the news since Trump was elected. There's always been some big panic. You know, there was Russia, there was the Mueller report, there was the impeachment. There's always been something. There's always been some big thing that Wolf Blitzer can get on CNN and have some breaking headline that Trump is an idiot. Well, they don't have anything right now, so they have to manufacture something. And saying that the Trump administration's reaction to the coronavirus is the next thing is just the logical step for them, because, you know, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
Joe Biden is the next big thing?
Well, and everything else has failed. You know, the impeachment,
absolutely,
that's failed. I mean, they've got to manufacture, like you just said. Yeah.
Yep.
Listen,
We'll be in on this this risk warrant bill, 5448. We'll be in on Monday, the 16th, for a public hearing, and I encourage everybody to come out. I'm sorry that the dates have changed, but, you know, even the state legislature has lost its mind over coronavirus, and you know, they've closed the legislative office building for 2 days for a deep cleaning, and all the hearings have been moved.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about, because I only got about a few minutes left. So let's talk about this red flag laws and where it originated from. I know it comes up. It even came up when I was there with you a couple years ago. But it continually comes up year after year after year. It somehow it dies in some way, shape, or form, either in committee or just never gets called in either of the chambers. But there's some unintended consequences that could really prove to be detrimental to this bill.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, a little history. Connecticut has had, you know, you could call it a red flag law, but it was actually what's called a risk warrant statute since the 1990s. And Connecticut's has actually been a pretty reasonable one. And what it says currently is that if somebody believes that a person is an imminent risk to themselves or others and has firearms, they get the police involved. Two police officers can come and do a complete investigation, and then upon a signed affidavit can go into court and establish that there is a reason why this person should not have firearms in their possession. And then the court looks at the results of the investigation and can issue a risk warrant. And then the police will go in, they'll seize the firearms, and within 14 days, the person gets a hearing. A full-blown evidentiary hearing, if they want one, to determine whether or not they should get their firearms back. It's onerous. A lot of people hate it, but it's at least a little bit reasonable.
Well, a court hearing is held within 2 weeks, right, to decide whether the firearms or ammunition should be kept away from the person, right?
Correct. Within 2 weeks. And what happens is if the, very often it takes longer than that for somebody to get a lawyer, to get their papers together. You know, if suddenly the police bust in and, you know, take all your firearms away, you know, it may take you a little time to get your act together so you could make a good case in front of a court. So you're allowed a hearing within 14 days. If you don't do it within 14 days, you can do it within 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You know, you have an opportunity to get your act together before you get in front of a judge.
Okay, but now this new bill proposes to make those orders indefinite, right? It would allow a person to apply it. But you can apply to the court every 180 days to lift the order. Otherwise, it's indefinite.
Right. Well, not only that, the worst thing is how these things are initiated now. Yeah. There is no longer a requirement that the police be involved at all.
Oh.
Because there doesn't have to be any investigation. Under this bill, any person that is in any way related, spouse, parent, child, sibling, grandparent, grandchild, step-parent, stepchild, step-sibling, mother or father-in-law, son-in-law or daughter, brother, sister-in-law, person residing with the person subject to the complaint, person who has a child in common, dating or intimate partner of the person, legal guardian or formal legal guardian. So, you know, virtually anybody with any familial connection to a person can go directly to court with no investigation whatsoever and say that they have probable cause to believe this person shouldn't have their firearms. So any disgruntled ex-boyfriend can go in. So if you've got a young woman who's been abused and beaten by her boyfriend, kicks the guy out of the house, that guy can now go directly to court without any investigation whatsoever. And all he needs is probable cause, which is a very, very low standard. All he has to do is swear, this woman threatened to kill me, and she's got a gun. Well, of course she's got a gun. She's got a gun to protect herself against some...
Yeah, from you.
...dirtbag.
Right.
So he now goes to court with no investigation, there's no police involved, there's nobody's looking into this, no firewall, no independent eyes on this situation. The dirtbag goes directly to court, has probable cause, or shows probable cause just by lying, and then gets a risk warrant, brings it to the police. The police have this warrant now. They're ordered by the court to go seize these firearms. They dress up in their SWAT gear, bash the door down, and take this woman's firearm. The only thing that's keeping her alive, protecting her from this guy who's trying to kill her. So now
she's defenseless, and this guy can come right back, knowing that she no longer has her guns anymore, and cause more harm to her.
Exactly. And she's got 14 days to get her act together.
Oh,
and if
goodness.
She flubs her initial hearing, let's say she doesn't have the money to hire a lawyer, she goes in there by herself and flubs it. If she flubs this initial hearing within 2 weeks, she can't even reapply for another hearing for 6 months. It's just craziness.
All right, we got to wrap up our time, Doug. But I mean, this is absolutely insane. What are the so really quickly in a minute or less? What are the chances of this bill? I know it has a hearing now on Monday, rescheduled from this Friday. What are the chances of this bill passing through committee and actually getting to either the House or Senate chamber for a full?
Well, I don't want to handicap it, but it all depends on how many people show up and how many people call their legislators. You got to call your legislators. You know, obviously you don't have to call me because you know that I'm opposing it. But call the people on the Judiciary Committee. Call your legislators. Write letters. Submit testimony. Show up at the
hearing. Yeah, show up.
Monday.
How political is this bill?
Oh, it's completely political. We've got a reasonable law in place that's actually working, and for nothing but political reasons, they're trying to screw it up and just make it so it is completely onerous on anybody who possesses a firearm to protect themselves.
All right. Thanks so much. State Representative Doug Dubisky.